I always tell my students, take baby steps, see what opportunities arise and take them and learn from them. If you fail, that's okay. Everybody fails in life. You learn from that experience and something else will come upon and another door will open.
Welcome to Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You, the podcast that focuses on Christians that are active in everyday life. Join in as we speak to everyone from successful business owners to educators to athletes about their faith and how it helps them reach out and revolutionize those around them to do the same. And now get ready to roar with your host, the voice of manifestation, John Fuller.
Hey, Roar Nation, John Fuller here, and I am really excited for today's special guest, Dr. Judy. Dr. Judy, you fired up, ready to go?
I am.
All right. So Dr. Judy is the CEO of Platform Magazine. She's the assistant professor and program manager of biotechnology. She is an author in forensic science, speaker, and a triathlete who teaches in the Maryland area. She serves as a spokeswoman and advocate for several biological, health, medicine, and forensic science organizations. Additionally, as a professional athlete, triathlete, and national health fitness specialist, she assists in several community programs to initiate health and youth sports. She is part of the USA Swimming, USA Hockey, USA Track and Field, and USAT, which I believe is track organizations. Is that right, Dr. Judy?
It is.
All right. I was taking a stab at it. I thought, man, I know I got to get that right somehow. All right. So I barely scratched your bio. I'm very impressed. You have done a lot. You do a lot. Why don't you tell my guests a little bit more about what you do and your passion?
Well, my passion is educating. I love medicine. I love health and wellness. Again, I'm a professor and I do teach biological sciences and biotechnology. So I do run a nice program at the college here in Maryland that I teach at. And medicine, cancer, and research is my passion. Sharing the knowledge is very wealthful for individuals that might not have the opportunity to maybe go to school or know what I know at the level of basics for learning wealth and health and wellness, and even being in sports and taking care of your body and knowing the basics of how to take care of your body and teaching others how to do that. And especially with the new year, it's very important to take those ideas and educate others for preventative medicine.
Yes. Okay, absolutely. So I'm just curious, what does biological science look like? What are you teaching about?
I teach everything. So biological sciences, we do a lot of research. My students start off in learning the basics of genetics. So we're very advanced in biology now, as back 20 years ago or even 15 years ago, we have advanced immensely in the area of medicine and in genetics. And what my students learn is to advance in research, and that's what we promote in the sciences. We want our students to come into the sciences and learn and promote research and study and advance medicine as much as we can. Technology is advancing, so we're trying to keep up on the cutting edge of research and the equipment and collaboration around the globe so we can hopefully find different cures for cancer. We have this notion about, let's find one cure for cancer. Well, educating people that there's never going to be one cure for cancer is very important. Cancer is a variety of diseases, and we need to stay advanced and educate others that it is very important to fund research and students and get them knowledge to help advance in medicines and continue to stay up with the evolving trends of these diseases.
So talking about biological science, I'm really curious, what fascinates me about it, I don't have time to do the study and the research, but what I think about is for so many years, I remember when I was younger, people would try to separate science and religion. And I actually think more than anything, they overlap, because if God created everything, I would think science proves it. So just one question that comes to my mind is, the more you research and the more you see just how much there is patterns, I would think, in everything, and how everything is just very engineered. I mean, would that be right? Is if you study, do you see that? Does it just increase your faith, or what's that look like?
It does increase my faith, and I'm very religious. I'm very close to God, and I did grow up thinking the same way. We were taught not to believe in evolution. We kind of separated religion and science. And I went to Catholic school my entire life. And however, for my love for science back in third grade in Catholic school and growing up, I did have a great set of nuns that did teach me about Jesus and about the Lord, giving me the brain to pursue this. And whatever would happen during the times of studies, if it was not finding what I was looking for during research, to lift it up to him. And I have always done that. And amazingly, I've been very blessed by him in my research studies and any of my advancements in education. And I feel that he guides me through this process every single day. And I do pray that, you know, we find these certain medicines to stop the suffering. Yeah. There's a lot of people suffering.
Well, I want to ask you, do you have a success quote or like a scripture that has just been foundational for you over these years as the Lord has led you into science?
Yes, everything through Christ can be done.
Amen. Absolutely. So have you ever had like that moment? I'm just curious, when you're researching something or looking into something, kind of like that God moment where God just reveals something to you and you're like, oh my gosh, it had to be God, because you didn't think, it's like it wasn't you that thought about it. It was just kind of like one of those bubbles that just dropped into your head.
Well, you know, studying science is not easy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do get intimidated and they don't want to go into the field. A lot of my students have to be encouraged, and I love mentoring my students and I love pushing them, and I mentor a lot of them. So having them under me and guiding them and telling them this can be done, you can do this, you know, constant encouragement is key to success. And again, because it can be very discouraging if you're doing research or you lose funding, it can be hard. And every day, you know, I get up and pray. I ask God, you know, I'm going in to do this because my passion is to discover something, or maybe not me, my students might be the ones to discover something that might be successful in medicine that will, again, help somebody who might be suffering. And it might be that one little molecule that we might be missing that I might not see, but my student might see to help put that piece to the, you know, piece together in that puzzle. But it is so advanced. So when you're reading and things start coming together in your head and you're piecing everything together and you're like, wow, I see that. Like, I see that big picture, and thank you, God, for putting that together for me, because again, if I don't understand it, I can't teach. And if I don't teach well, then my students are not going to understand it. And then that's not good. We need them to understand at a level that it's not so difficult, where they can take the steps, again, slowly, to be passionate about what they're doing also.
Yeah, absolutely. I love what you're doing. All right, so the main thing, we've talked a little bit about science. I know that's what you do, but before we went live, we talked a little bit about your passion is education. You have a magazine. Tell me about your magazine and what you're doing with your magazine.
The Platform Magazine came about through my college students. And again, I am not one to do the graphic arts and all the fancy stuff of the magazine. And fortunately, my students do that. I'm very blessed that I have them doing what they do, because the magazine brings about education. It brings about inspiration. It brings about positivity to everyone around the globe. We've been around for 4 years now, and we didn't know where this was going to go when we started this magazine. And basically, I wanted my students to succeed and get out there and have some confidence in being out in the world, meeting people, meeting celebrities, interviewing them. And, you know, 4 years later, we can actually say we're successful and we have done some good. We do a lot of positivity, and that's what we want. We want to share the love. We want to give back. We want people to read the magazine and inspire each other so they can succeed. And that's what it's all about.
Okay. I'm just kind of curious, what doors has that opened for you or some of your students? What's kind of been the journey of the magazine?
The journey has opened so many doors. We've been fortunate enough to meet plenty of celebrities and be on TV shows. And my students have advanced in their careers. Trisha Cobb, who is our graphic lead artist, who does all the covers of the magazine, is an entrepreneur now. When we started, she was my biology student. And she saw me writing for different magazines. And she approached me. And she said, "Dr. Stavely, can we put something together where you help me?" And we sat down in my office. And I said, "Yes, I can help you. You know, you put it together. I will do my part to help you succeed." My daughter was also a college student at the time. And her friend, Lauren, were all graphic artists. And I said, "You girls, if you want to do this, I will help you, guide you, but I am not the artist, and we can try to put this together and see where it goes." And now they have all graduated from college. They're very successful. Trisha's an entrepreneur. She owns her own business, and she does a lot of graphic artists for many different companies, and the girls are doing just well, and I'm very proud of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I love the fact that, I mean, obviously that's not part of their class. You just, I guess you would say you kind of went above and beyond as a teacher just to see your students. And people succeed. And I love that, because I think when we're passionate about what we do, it doesn't matter whether you're a teacher or a pastor or anything that you do. If you're not passionate about it, the kids are going to pick up on that. And then you can kind of just crumble their dreams, in the sense you could just be a bad teacher or a bad pastor or anything.
And I agree with that. There's many egotistic professors out there. And, you know, we've all have experienced one or two bad professors in our careers. I know I have, going through school. But if it wasn't for that one or two professors that I didn't have that would guide me and see my passion and have, you know, said, "You know what, you're going to be a good professor. I think you should be a professor, do research, don't go to medical school, maybe go to medical school." You know, that whole encouragement, listening to somebody else that's above you and guide you, is what makes you succeed. And I had that. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I did, because I didn't know. You don't know what door is going to open. You could be 17 years old, and the biggest question is, where do you see yourself 10 years from now? It's a hard one. So I always tell my students, take baby steps, you know, and see what opportunities arise and take them and learn from them. If you fail, that's okay. Everybody fails in life. You learn from that experience, and something else will come upon, and another door will open.
I love what you said about, oh, it's okay to fail. So many, I did, and I know a lot of other people. Do you think if you fail, then you're obviously a failure, but really that is just a stepping stone in another direction or on top of something else? What I want to ask you is you hit on purpose. Where did you find kind of your purpose in that direction, where you kind of felt like, this is where I need to go? What did that look like, where you're not quite sure what you wanted to do, but then all of a sudden you realize, I like this, and you just went for it? Do you kind of remember that moment?
I do. I've always had a love for science. However, you know, I graduated school at a very young age. I was 17 years old. I was pretty smart. And I graduated a year early from high school, and I had a full ride to college. And For education.
Man, that's impressive.
You know, however, again, I was very young. And being young and smart sometimes is probably not a good thing. I went off to college and wanted to go into computer science, because at the time in the 90s, that was a big thing, you know?
Yeah, it was.
Computers were coming out, and the Mac, and learning all these new programs, and it was cutting edge. And I wanted to do that, and decided I didn't like the 4-year college experience at the big university, and finished up my semester, called my parents, and I said, I need to come home, because I am very distracted with all the college traditions. It was too much partying for me. It was probably the best move I did. So I moved back home, went to the community college to figure out what I really wanted to do. I continued on with my computer science degree. I got a 2-year degree, an associate's, got a job with a doctor. At the time, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with this computer degree. Right now, I just need to work. I'm 19 years old. I need to find a job. Again, started running the office for this doctor, and he mentored me and said, you know, you should really consider medical school. I think you would be a good doc. And I was like, well, I don't know if I can do that. And he started showing me the ropes and teaching me stuff. And I liked it and started studying biology and went pre-med and got my pre-med undergrad degree, got a grant to do research in cancer, and then was studying up for medical school, took the MCATs, and was applying for medical schools. But there was always a part of me that wanted to do forensics also, because it was the new thing to do, and that was another new degree that was going to be out. And my husband goes, why don't you apply for that? It would be a backup plan if you don't go get into medical school. And I went ahead and applied for it, and I got accepted. And I was one of the first DNA analysts to be accepted into the program. And I accepted it and decided to not go medical school, but to go through forensics medical school.
So do they make it? Is it as cool as in the TV shows and the movies?
All these years, I thought it would eventually die off, the CSI. And in the beginning,
oh no, it's just ramping up.
It is. And I have been in the field for so many years. And like you said, I published books and textbooks. And I thought eventually it would just die off. It would, you know, kids would get bored of, you know, the shows. They would get old, but they don't. They just keep advancing. And then the forensics techniques have advanced also over the years. And DNA was just the newest thing coming out at the time when I was selected to go study this. And there was only 12 of us, only 12 of us around the United States that was selected to study forensics medicine in DNA. And we were kind of like the apostles, I say, because there was only 12.
I would think that would be fascinating, because I would think as you dive more into that, just to see the complexity and the structure of how DNA and all this stuff works, just how amazing that there has to be a designer. I mean, that's all I can think about, because I mean, it just can't randomly happen. There has to be, it's got to be so complex that it has to be structure to it.
It's very complex and it's very chemically done. And now we're advancing so fast. So biology is really chemistry. Chemistry is now physics. So we collaborate as professors and we come as a team and we discuss things on the advancements of our technology and how we're going to use this in the classroom, or how we're going to use this in the research, or how are we going to educate others on what this stuff can do in the courtroom, outside of the courtroom, maybe in medicine and so forth. And it's very advanced, but it's very exciting too.
Yeah, I bet it is. So I want to ask you this. So going through your bio on your website, which we'll post that on rureal.org, but I want to ask you, with all the things that you've done, you've achieved a lot, you've gone to school, your magazine professor. For our listeners, there's always a time in our life where, even when we're pursuing our dreams and things, that we hit major roadblocks. And it can be discouraging, because we can't live on the mountaintop. If you go on top of a mountain, there's no trees and there's nothing up there because there's not enough oxygen. You got to come down at some point, right?
Right.
What has been a moment for you where you really kind of hit one of those points? I want to talk about that if you'll share that with us, but what God showed you through that and how he brought you through it.
I would say patience. You have to do your time. You have to do your work. I always tell my students, you're never going to get that $100,000 job career if you don't do your time. You have to learn patience. And I think that's what God has showed me, is you're not going to get what you want right away. No matter how much you work, sometimes it takes time. And people are going to slam the doors and tell you no. And you got to sit back and think about it and say, okay, well, why did they say no? Kind of think it through. And, well, let's try somebody else. Well, let's try a different strategy. And, you know, maybe apply for a different job if you're not happy at that other job, or try something new and creative. Just don't sit there and dwell on it. And I know a lot of people just quit, and they might need to quit and move on to, you know, another passion and find what they need. But if they're desperately in love with that career and they don't want to give up at that, Well, they need to keep on going and maybe think of a different strength that will help them pursue and succeed.
Dr. Drew, I want to, do you have a very specific moment, even maybe just recently, where you felt like you wanted to give up, but then you kind of just had to pep talk yourself, or maybe your husband gave you a pep talk or something that you just had to like, what I found, it's so easy sometimes to be the encourager, but sometimes you go through it and you need that encouragement to push through. Do you have one of those moments lately?
Well, you know, as an athlete, I do. And I love the sports. I love running. I love triathlons. And being a professional athlete, I'm very blessed, again, to have my sponsors that encourage me to be out there in races. And you do have a little stress, and you put stress on yourself that maybe you want to put your best out there. And I am that type of person that whatever I do, I tell myself, put your best out there. If it doesn't come through, it's okay. I do a lot of self-talk. I have learned over the years to do self-talk and motivate myself.
Yes.
If you don't love yourself, again, you're not going to succeed. You have to know yourself. And there were some times last year in a full marathon where I thought I was going to quit. At the Marine Corps Marathon, I put myself out there. I was not feeling good at mile 18. And I had my teammate with me, which was a blessing. And I was going to throw in the towel at my 18. And, you know, she pep talked me. I talked up myself. And I was like, we're not so far from the finish line. We can do this. Just maybe not push it as fast. Let's just take baby steps and just get this done. So a lot of positive self-talk can get you out of a lot of stressful situations. And that's also good for the nervous system and the body. So when you ever feel stress, that self-talk of positivity will help you.
Yeah, I'm curious. Now that I have you on the phone, that's a great, I got a question for you. What does that look like chemically in the body? So versus me saying, like, if I'm running this race and I'm like, man, John, you suck, you can't do this, you're terrible. Like, a lot of people have negative self-talk. And versus telling yourself that you can do this, and what does that chemically look like in your body as far as, is there an example? I mean, can you see that in the body?
Yes, cortisol. Cortisol is a stress hormone. So the more negative impact that you put in your mind releases cortisol, also serotonin. So even the environment that you're in and you're around negative people, that will release chemical cortisol hormones into your body that will depress you. So that's why it's very bad to be around negativity. And you can feel that energy. If you're ever around somebody that is just very negative, your intuition tells you that. You can feel that energy. And that energy is the physics, the quantum physics, all that energy behind of what we feel. And that makes us sick. And that's why in the hospitals, we have what we call Reiki, massage. We put these type of individuals that do self-healing, which is just a central touch to patients that are maybe suffering from cancer or heart patients. And you send these people in that just kind of massage and do positive self-talk to these patients to help them heal faster. Even prayer. Prayer
is... That's just going to ask you if there's a scientific side to prayer where you can see that scientifically.
Yeah, well, that would be the positive. If you believe in, like, and of course I'm going to be biased because I'm religious, but there's not really scientific proof. But again, if you're religious and you believe the power of healing through prayer and you find that a positive impact in your mind, that's going to heal the body.
That's fascinating. That's really, it just gets me excited to think about that. I wish I had more time to study it myself.
So. It releases the endorphins, the happy hormones, when you have, kind of like when you're in love. So when you're in love, you get happy and you release those endorphins and oxytocin hormones, and you release those happy chemicals in your mind, and it pushes away the bad cortisol hormones.
Okay. Fascinating. All right. So it is fascinating. I want to ask you, what do you feel like in everything that you do, especially with your magazine and helping educate about success and things like that, what do you feel like your biggest strength is?
My biggest strength is helping others. I feel that people can come to me. My students feel comfortable coming to me, and that's a good thing for me. If they feel comfortable asking me stuff about any topic, I think that's my biggest strength, is comforting somebody who needs help. And maybe that's where the doctor title comes in, but I went to school for that.
Okay.
I knew I had that gift prior to getting my degrees, but I wanted, again, to know specifically in my studies, the mind, body, and soul. I think that's where I connect all my degrees together. I always tell my students, I might have all these degrees, but the reason why I did it was to connect the mind, body, and soul. And we can learn so much science, but there's something else to that also.
Yes, the whole spiritual side.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay. Within your strength, sometimes we can overextend in our strength. Do you feel like there's a weakness that you have within your strength, or have a weakness, period?
That's a good question. For some reason, people asking me about failures and weakness is probably my biggest weakness in answering them.
Yeah, I got to hear this.
The reason why I feel that way is because, again, I don't dwell on my weaknesses. If I constantly dwell on a weakness or failure, again, it's going to offset my mind balance and I won't be myself. I'm pretty much a positive person. I'm always laughing and smiling. And for me to dwell on any type of weakness or sadness or failures, it throws me off. So I try to stay away from that whole topic and try to think of the positivities or outcomes from that situation.
Okay. I think that's a great answer. I like that because you're capitalizing what you find your strengths are and you capitalize on that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, that's a great answer. What is the biggest thing that God is stirring inside of you right now?
I think guidance to my students in mentoring them. I know he's guiding me in educating me. As a professor, you never are done learning. And I think learning the advancements of research, my passion right now is educating my students to be out there and find the cures for cancer. There's so many diseases, so many more diseases like Zika virus and, you know, level 4 viruses that people don't even know about. And my students working on those different levels, I think that's where God is guiding me to mentor them and ensure their confidence that they can go out there and be successful.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, within the education system, I mean, you can't share your faith, obviously, from behind the desk or different things. But how are you able to share your faith, or what does that look like maybe with students or colleagues or things like that?
In a college campus, as I think Americans, we're pretty open to faith. We don't discriminate with any type of religion. So for the most part, I don't go out preaching to my students my theories of religion and spirituality, but we do talk about, you know, the mind, body, and soul and our intuitions and the positivity and, you know, and I think for the most part, everybody I work with and my students too, because of social media and being out there, they all know where I stand on my faith.
Okay, that's cool. What is a personal daily habit that helps you with your walk with the Lord?
I pray a lot. If I see maybe a roadblock in my day, I stop and pray. And I believe that He will guide me through that situation. Because again, sometimes my job can be stressful and I have to know a lot and coordinate a lot. And I think with having a little prayer and guidance from Him, or Him sending His angels or saints to guide me, I do feel that in my everyday process of teaching or running the program at the college and so forth.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely need all the guidance we can get, especially with highly stressful jobs. I'll tell you. What is a book that's really impacted you lately that you would like to share with us?
Oh, there's so many. Well, you know, my head is always in research journals. Every morning I do wake up and I read about medicine. And I usually regurgitate that to my students. But there is one book, I don't know if you've read it, it's Dying to Wake Up. And there's a few books out there that keeps me intrigued with the spiritual side in medicine. A lot of doctors have written these type of books that have passed away and met the Lord and maybe gone to the other side.
Yeah.
And so some of those stories that are published, like Dying to Wake Up, was published by a doctor himself, an MD, and he tells a story about when he passed away and met the Lord and came back to tell his story. And there's several books out there right now that kind of say the same thing, yeah, have the same message. I don't know if I'm just very intrigued with the topics because it kind of puts the science and the religion together, but we do know that there's another side to our spirituality.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about that. I think, you know, there's so many, again, I think this goes back to our conversation before we went live, but for years, people tried to separate religion and spirituality and those things, and science and religion, but in the truth, they overlap. And I really believe that the more people like you and other doctors that are believers, they're able to bring the science out in that, I think it's going to help, kind of like the doubting Thomases. So when Jesus was standing before Thomas and he's like, I got to stick my finger in that hole just to actually believe you're really here, that it's going
right.
to be people like you and other scientists that are going to be able to bring that forward to the doubting Thomases. And it's okay that obviously that was Thomas's personality, and there's other people like that. And that's, you know, that story's in the Bible to share, that to say, hey, it's okay. There's other people who doubt too. But as science more and more comes forward, what excites me about it is it's going to be Dr. Judy's of the world. They're going to bring out and say, hey, this is why that God exists. Now, whether you can see him or not right now, here's the science behind it.
Well, there was that popular movie also that a lot of people love, was about the child that passed away. Heaven is for real.
Yes.
I've always been intrigued with those type of stories, and I love reading those type of stories. But like I said, there's a lot of MDs that have published on the fact that they had surgery and they've come to the other side and then come back to tell the story. So, you know, they see the other side and they see the science also. So them communicating the word and teaching others is fascinating.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, I want to ask you this. If you got to go, did you ever watch the movie Big with Tom Hanks?
I did.
Okay.
So, hopefully I remember.
Yeah. So he got to go to the genie, and it was a time machine. So if you get to put the quarter in and you're going to get the opportunity to go back to see the younger you, okay? Now we're going back, so you can't get out of this. No matter what, you're going back. What age would you pick, and what kind of advice would you tell the younger you to help you for the future now?
That's hard. Just stay you. Be you. Don't change. Just have a little bit more confidence, and God would guide you through.
Ah, that's great advice. I think all of us need to just realize, sometimes you just need to sit back and say, okay, God's got this.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Okay. As we get ready to part, Dr. Judy, what is a piece of advice that you would give my listeners just as if they were your students?
Be yourself. Succeed. Don't give up. Just continue to push through. Have encouragement, have confidence, and follow your passion, follow your dreams. If you're not different, you know, you're never going to get out there and do it. So follow what you love, have faith, believe in yourself, and again, leave it to God. Pray. God will guide you. He will send his Holy Spirit to help you get through things, and just believe.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's all about being different, because we were all created different.
Different.
Absolutely. So if you feel weird, then you're in the right spot, because you're supposed to be different.
And I am different.
I love it. Hey, I want to ask you, so if one of our listeners wants to have you come in and speak or talk about science or athletics, or all the different things that you're doing, especially your magazine, how do we find you?
They could go to my website, judystavely.com. There's a little contact box, and they can directly email me and contact me that way. I do answer any questions, so if they have questions on any of the topics we discussed, I'd be more than willing to answer them.
Yes, fantastic. All right, Dr. Judy, just hold on for a second. We close up. All right, Roar Nation, thank you so much for jumping on today. I hope you learned a little bit about science and success and how they all overlap. Anything that we talked about today will be on the show notes on areyoureal.org. You can jump on there and we will have links to Dr. Judy's website. And also, guys, please rate and review us on iTunes. If you saw recently, we've been staying in the top four of iTunes. We hit number one for a day, all because of you guys. I greatly appreciate that. And also, jump on our front page. We are having a download we'll have in the next couple weeks as far as finding your passion, your purpose, how to get that, and how to get a life mission statement. We've been working on my book for the last couple months. It'll be releasing in February, and all that will be free to you guys as listeners. So I just want to thank you. Just remember, at the end of the day, guys, be real, be authentic, and be you. God bless.
That's all for this episode of Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You. Be sure to go to areyoureal.org for your free questionnaire to identify your gifts and talents and how you can use them to help people become leaders and catapult them into their destiny to help others become the leaders of tomorrow. We appreciate you spending your time with us and look forward to helping you reach out and revolutionize next time on Are You Real? Finding the Authentic You.